Well, hello, everyone. This is Deanna Austin, and I wanted to give a little spotlight. And the one that is off the top of my head that I read at the going on, I read this in the Braille Forum, is that the ACB is in the midst of working with having some blind emojis. Now, if you know what emojis are, clap your hands. If you know what that word emoji, okay, if you have no clue, clap your hand. If you have no clue, okay, I didn't get any claps. Okay, so they're looking at a dog guide, a man in a white cane, and a woman in a white cane. And also, they are looking at other things like for people with disabilities, someone in a wheelchair, a prosthetic arm, leg. Now, these things are going through a vote and all of that. And if it moves along in the Apple world, then we should see it out sometime in 19. All right.
Very good. There you go, Rita.
Okay, everybody.
Is it on?
Okay. This session is called Becoming Conflict Competent, very relevant to a lot of us. There will be no fighting in this room. Okay. Our speaker, who has graciously given up his Saturday for us, is George Ocanti. Did I say it right? George Ocanti. He works with the Purdue Extension Service here in Marion County, and his area is called Community and Talent Development. So I am going to turn this over to George and do your thing. Introduction?
Here we go. I'm gonna pass the mic around. Just your name and where you're from.
That's it. Carrie Goodman, Scavvy in Indiana.
Ted Boardman, Bloomington.
Chris Baskins, Bloomington, Indiana.
Erwin Hott, Columbus, Ohio.
Oh, up to me? Oh, Carolyn Burley from Canton, Ohio.
Annie Davis from Cincinnati, Ohio.
Jennifer Sparks, Indianapolis, Indiana.
Melody Banks, Cincinnati.
Barbara Dodge, Indiana.
And Bill Sparks is in the room. All right. Rita, were you done? You were done with the microphone, Rita? Yep. All right. Thank you for being here. Welcome. And you've got one? All right.
Hello, good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Good morning, everybody.
Yeah.
That sounds much better, doesn't it? Well, I speak five languages, so, you know, usually it takes about 2, 3, 4, 5 seconds, maybe more, for people to adjust to my intonations, right? So I'm going to try and be, you know, kind of go a little bit slower so that we can all understand what we're talking about.
And so I don't end up creating any kind of comfort, right? Okay, so my name is George. George Cante.
Okay. 1, 2, 3. So my name is George. George Cante.
Switch out mics real quick.
Switching mics.
Yeah, why don't you change the mic? Does that give you a red signal?
Is that even on?
Is that a stand?
Or handheld? Handheld. No, this is okay. This is better. Okay. So we're going to talk about conflict today, but before we do that, let me tell you a little bit about myself. I'm an extension educator. And I work with the Purdue Extension Marion County office. So I'm based here in Indianapolis. So what I do on a regular basis is kind of work with people and help people, especially individuals, groups, and organizations to actually gather data and make good decisions out of the information and data that they collect. So I do a lot of data analysis. So we all make decisions every day. But what I tend to help people do most of the time is to really use the decisions that the data that they have to make decisions that really serves them. So my specialty is in leadership development. So I do a lot of leadership development programs, which is really building people's capacity to be the best that they can be, right? So one of the areas that I focus on and do a lot of work in is to do with conflict, which is conflict competence. So today we're going to be talking a little bit about conflict competence, right? Okay, so how many of you know anything about conflict? What is conflict? How would you explain conflict? Is it Annie?
Yes. Oh, goodness. Well, what's the best way I can explain? A situation in which one party doesn't agree with the other.
Annie, that's good. Well, who else? Anybody else? Okay, if you have any idea, you could just speak it out. But that's a very good start, Annie. That's just perfect. So we're going to be talking a little bit more about how you can have disagreements and how you resolve some of those things. To get us started, just make sure you have a little bit of space where you are, because now you're going to be standing up and sitting down. I'm going to get you to do a little bit of exercise over here just to make sure that you have your adrenaline and everything else good. Do you have your handouts?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Great. Okay, we've not gotten to that part here. So I'm going to read some questions over here. And when I read them, if it applies to you, let's say, for instance, if you agree with the statement, I want you to stand up. If you disagree with the statement, I want you to keep sitting down. And I'm going to ask you why you are standing and why you are sitting. Kind of give us some ideas too. So if you agree with the statement, you stand. If you're not in total agreement with the statement, then you sit. So you only sit if you disagree with the statement. So here's the first question. It is best to avoid conflict with anyone. It is best to avoid conflict with anyone. Now, if you agree with the statement, stand. If you disagree with the statement, sit. Okay, so you all disagree with the fact that it's best to avoid conflict, right? Okay, great. All right, so here's the second one. Now, if you agree with the statement, you stand, and if you disagree, you can sit. Conflict damages relationships with other people. If you agree, stand. If you disagree, sit. Conflict damages relationships with other people. Okay. All right, so you agree. Sir, why do you agree? No, I'm coming to you.
I mean, in a sense, so if it's a healthy relationship, but I think sometimes there's misunderstandings where it does lead to, a lot of times if it's not, that relationship isn't explored and there's no resolution, you end up.
Great. Okay, who was sitting? I want one person who was sitting to. Who was sitting? Because, you were up. I mean, you were standing, so I'm not going to call you. Was there anybody who was sitting? Okay, tell us more. Yeah. Okay.
Sometimes you have to agree to disagree.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Anybody else? Good. There are no right or wrong answers, and we're going to be dealing with some of these things. So, okay, let's go for one more, and then we can go on with what we have. Okay. So, if you agree with this statement, stand. If you disagree, keep sitting down. It is important that people see things the same way that you see them. If you agree with the statement, you're halfway. If you're not sure, okay. Okay, so if you're halfway, Jennifer, tell us why you are halfway, and Annie will tell her why she's not sure. Go ahead.
Well, I'm not really aware.
Okay. All right, so Annie, what did you have in mind?
Yeah, if you value your chef, you want to at least understand where the other is coming from. It doesn't have to be working together. Yeah. There's also an opportunity there. So, our radio wave, they discovered. I've been trying to see everybody in that room that want me to have some opinion to grow and enhance.
Okay. Well, I'm agreeing with everybody. Anybody else coming?
I would say agree. good that you agree with, but you're trying. You won't, and you're willing. Well, we don't agree about everything, but some share. But maybe we don't want to. We're ADA. I really like.
Okay.
You gotta. You can't. Other business people that you have to. You agree with me.
So I'm going to put a couple of touchstones here, right? Which is, we're going to be focusing on ourselves and how we relate to people. Because it is how we relate to people and what we do that gets into community, state, and national level. But you're going to focus on the area where we have some power and authority. So we're going to be focusing more on what we do and how we do it instead of what somebody else. So just keep that in mind. It's always one of the biggest challenges we have that creates a lot of conflict is that it's never about us, it's about the other. If the other person just do what you want, there will be no. And that in and of itself is the beginning of conflict. So sometimes you create conflict thinking that it's the other person, when in actual you are the real. So for what we're going to be doing today and, you know, the conversation that we're going to be having, I would like you to focus on, you know, yourself and how you show up with it. And then slowly move it. One of the things, and I think this is in your handout, which is the premise of this workshop, which is what I was kind of looking at, and this is on page 2. The premise of this workshop is that one of the things that we're going to be discussing here is conflict is inevitable. So as we all are aware, one of the things to agree is that conflict is inevitable. Whether we like it or not, we're going to be engaged in some, because there's something we want, and somebody else wants that thing, and there's going to be. So it's inevitable. As human beings, for all the things that we do and the things that we do, whether it is to do with, you know, our parents, whether it's to do with our children, whether it's to do with co-workers, and whether it's to do with things that we do in the community, conflict is inevitable. There's conflict all over. Right? The other premise of this workshop is that conflict can be both positive and negative. You know, you can actually have some positive as a result. So we're going to be looking at those two. And the other premise that we're going to be looking at here is usually when people get into conflict situation, they take two sides. You know, it's either fight or flight, you know. And we're going to examine that, see, you know, the benefits of it. And then finally, what we're going to do is really have some conversations around how we build some skill to help us with something that is really in. I mean, if you are living on the planet alone, you'll be just fine and cool. You can just mind your own and do whatever you want. But so long as you are living with other people, I just want to bring to your awareness that conflict in there. And so the extent to which you actually put yourself in a situation where you can understand and see how you deal with it and be competent at dealing with it, that is how you build last. So conflict in and of itself is a community. And the communication skills, the outcome of those communication skills is about building strong relationships. That's what it is. Okay, so the definition of conflict that we have here, my thing here is 3, is that conflict is any situation in which people have incompatible interests. So whenever you have an incompatible interest with somebody, whether you're in a conflict, right? You might have incompatible goals, principles, or fears. When you have those, you're in a conflict. Now, the part that I'm going to be focused on more today will be how to be conflict. So you know we've already agreed that conflict is inevitable. So what I'm going to be focusing on is how do we become conflict dealing with. So in order to do that, there are 3 things that we have. We have to look at the cognitive part, the way we think and see and approach. We also have to look at the emotional investment that we put out when we have. And then we're also going to look at the behavioral things, which is the behavior we get. So there are 3 main things that I'm going to look at here, and I'm going to write them here in case, you know. So we're going to look at number 1, you know, the cognitive. Cognitive is, you know, what you think, you know, the way you are resolving it in your head. So it's more the head work. The second part of it is the emotional response, right? So we look at, you know, the emotional responses that we use. And then the third thing that we're going to be focusing on today will be the behavioral. So there are 3 things that we are looking at if we want to be conflict. At least now that we've all agreed, inevitable. So the first thing that you do in conflict situations is to look at the cognitive, the way you are looking at, the way you are perceiving it, and the stories that you are creating around it. The second thing is to look at the emotional investment that you have, what it's doing to you, what is happening, what you are seeing, what you are feeling, and then what, you know, the arousal that you get. And then, if you want to resolve it, the next thing to do is to look at what sort of behavior. So the behaviors are more like action. You know, what are the actions that you do when you're in a conflict, if you want. So those are the things that we're gonna look. The next thing that we have here on your handout here is the intensity of conflict. So one of the things that I described here was to do with the intensity of. So the reason I'm doing all this is to kind of get you to really understand the DNA of conflict. You know, usually we have conflict management. You know, we are all managing conflict. Well, how well is that working? It's not working that great because you're just managing. You know, you manage it today and the next day it comes back again, you know, over and over. But if you want to be competent at it, you have to get to the root cause and begin to solve it in such a way that you... One of the ways to do that is to understand the intensity of conflict. And I'm going to kind of go through, you can read more of it in your handout, but the intensity of conflict starts with simple difference. You know, you can have a simple difference. You know, I like the colt, you like the bear. Well, you think the bears don't do very well. I think the colts are the best team. And we can, you know, have a difference in who we want, and you can just banter about it. So that's just basic difference. You want this, I want that. So just a bit different. Okay, now, that difference goes to another level. If you don't work the thing out in the difference level, goes to another level, that creates sort of misunderstanding. You know, so misunderstanding could be, well, I thought you were going to be here at 8 o'clock or 7 o'clock, and then, you know, you showed up at 10 o'clock. Well, you didn't know. So that creates a whole lot of misunderstanding. Where what you believe or you thought the other person was going to do is not what they did. So that creates a whole difference. That's the total. So if you difference can move to the next level, we can be about why you are doing what you do and the reason. Now, if you don't resolve the conflict there, it moves to the next stage, which is disagreement. You begin to disagree about what is true or what is right or what's wrong. Right? And with this disagreement level, you move to the next level, which becomes discord. If you do have some, you know, discord with two or three of your teams. And then the highest level is polarized, where you have, well, you take your side and I take my side. You know, you are so wrong and I'm so right and I don't even want to. Now, you don't want to get that. So what I've just described to you is the DNA that it starts and it slowly moves to the fifth level of polarization. So between this five levels, you always have an opportunity to resolve. But the question is, we don't have the skill to know the level at which they come to address it with the skills that we address. So we stay there, don't do much. And before we realize it, you know, the serious disagreement is polarization that they engage with our friends, with our families, with our communities, and even within, you know, the political system. You get simple, different leaders. And when it happens like that, you know, everybody gets stressed out and, you know, you don't know what to do. You know, if you look at your handout, I have some examples of what, you know, you have there about the different levels. And what I've pretty much done so far is that I have informed you that conflict is inevitable. I've also informed you that conflict can be positive and you can have both. The other thing that I've also informed you so far is that conflict itself has got levels of tension where you can move from simple different opinions or different what you like and like to a level. And in between those five levels, your level of competence in knowing what is happening, how you deal, really a level. That is going to be your, that is kind of a deal, not just. Any question? Are you? Yes?
Yeah, it's maybe too early for this. I don't know. It's something as a committee for. In some of the road bridge, and how much of that eye contact between driver and employee fact that I wonder how I'm the result.
So that's a very good one because I mean you could just be driving down the street and somebody will, you know, come across your car and, you know, it's kind of like almost avoiding a collision or there might be insult thrown or somebody doing well. That is a situation. So I would call that a crucial moment. A crucial moment is any moment where you have to make that one will take you where you want or two will take you where I'm going to. So you always have a crucial moment. So you have a traffic situation or you have a situation with your father-in-law, your son-in-law, you have a situation. So whenever a situation happens, it's a crucial moment. So you have to make a choice as to whether you want to have a positive act or you want. So one of the things I do to this group is that forget about all the other people because you got to focus your react to that. And so when I said you have to pay attention to, you know, your cognitive part, it's like the way you are thinking and the way you are seeing the conflict or the situation and the stories that you make up at that point really is what drives the emotions that gives. And so what I'm, you know, some people say you have to count up 10, you have to time out, you have to find a way to cool down. Those are things that you can actually develop over time. So yes, sometimes you don't have time to go through all the levels. You know, something happens and you have to deal with it. And the way you deal with it, ask yourself a couple of, what is going on? What do I need? What do I want? So you might pretty much be able to ask yourself, what do you want for yourself, for the other relationship? And the reason why you do things to re-engage, You see, human beings, we are so good when everything is cool, nice, and clean. We are awesome. We smile, we joke, we do, everything is cool. But when we see red ink, you know, the color of our face changes. We begin to look like a baboon and all those things. You know, we look so ugly when we are doing that. But we don't. So one of the ways to, you know, to minimize those is to find ways to re-engage our brain. So when I said, you know, I talk about the cognitive part, we all have situations. But when the situation arrives, we have to be able to engage our brain real quick. And this is the skill that we and ask ourselves a question. What do you mean? Instead of getting upset and getting all wound up about something, you got to ask, what do you, what is the outcome? And once you're able to engage your brain, like, there's always a possibility that your brain will alternate other than the normal. Did I answer your question? Anybody else? Please, if you need me to, you know, I'll be happy to explain this to you because, you know, this thing trips us all the time and it comes on our words. You don't get any warning about conflict. It just strikes us. And so when it strikes, you've got to find a way to engage your. What is going on? Right? What do I want this to? If I say this, is it going to escalate it or is it going to be better? Okay, maybe this is not the time to engage this right. I need to give myself things and maybe re-engage. It doesn't mean that you avoid or run away from conflict. But you got to choose what to do and what not. So I'll be coming to you in a minute. You
want
to hear?
Yeah, I did one because I think my biggest problem that I do with my husband, if I don't, that I'm thinking, when do I say something now? So right. I'm going to get angry. But there's a good time to address the elephant.
It is hard. This is, you know, a lot of people, when we talk about conflict, people look at conflict about, well, how do I get the other person to do what? That's not it. When, right. So when it comes to, when is the right time? The right time is the time when you've actually had time. You've made a point cooling down and re-engaging your as to resolve that. So the cooling down period is important. You see, the best time is the time where you realize that you've actually been able to cool down, thought about, you know, what you're going to do, the consequences of it, looked at it from the other person, and then re-engage. You see, the reason why people do things that they do is because they don't. So you have to create some level of safety to be able to. And that is also a skill that people don't talk about what they want to talk about. Because so the question is, how do you make it safe for people you are paying? Because sometimes you raise an issue and they don't want to know about it. Oh, yeah, there you go again. And maybe that is important. So you might want to find a way to say, yeah, well, I noticed that, you know, I don't want to give you any time to talk about this, but I'm willing to listen to you. What is it that is making you feel like that important? So, yes, the right time when you found that cool down now to be able to engage the conversation such that your purpose is to come to a point. That is the right. If you're not set in your mind that you really want to have, the problem is not because the moment the person throws a winch in your conversation, everything's going to blow up again. Because, you know, they've been doing that for a long time and probably they are enjoying it. So you have to make a switch. People do what they do because they're. And so if you want to come, well, you have to take that play and really get engaged. You know, it's why I do this. It's an all-day class. it's a slow process, right? But, you know, we'll try and get some. I'm going to give you, you know, two. Yeah,
you may perceive that you're in this understanding, you know, this perspective may be the actual position, the outcome.
Right. So when you're having misunderstanding, you know, one of the things I have in your notes here about misunderstanding is a situation where what is understood by one part is different from what is by another. So if I'm saying this, you know, and there's no, and we have, that's what. But then when we have disagreement is when two people see a situation differently, regardless of how well they believe they understand each other's. They think they appear to understand your position, but they still disagree with you. I mean, it's kind of like, why don't you understand the thing? You know, the African whore. So you know you disagree. Then in discord, it's a situation where they come cause difficulty in relationship. So now your relationship is beginning to suffer as a result of, you know, and when that happens, say, difficulties in the relationships of the people involved, even when they are not dealing with the original. So at this point, when there is discord, the thing that started the issue is not even what you are dealing with. You've actually part of, it's kind of like husband-wife situations, right? You know, when your husband does something, it's usually not the, you always do that. I mean, you did that 10 years ago, you did that 5 years ago, you did that last week. They pile it on, right? So the event is not just the event is a pile on because you've done it 3, 4, 5 times and maybe they've said it 3, 4, 5 times. So when they are saying it today, it's not just the event. So you can have the emotion build up. So for something that you might want to give a very simple response or simple, you are so fed up with the other 150 times that you go through there that you end up blowing. And the question is, what result? the result healthy? Well, if it is not, then this is a time to actually switch and go for an alternative better. Yes.
Can we, well, the triggers, because I've heard for years that, of course, that's always dangerous. You have medication, but I mean, even I like request, it still said, that's still, because I, you know, I'm familiar with cooking, flowering, I got to talk, I got a bone to, so that said.
Well, try not to allow anybody to set you off. Try to understand it from their perspective, regardless of what it is, because it's there, and then tell them how to feel, and tell them we wish they would. You've done a lot of conflict resolution stuff, because you're using some seriously good sense. You could be teaching this class, I can tell you that. Okay, so we're going to dive into that a little bit. We're going to dive into that. Because, you see, the reason why we use some of those terms, 16? The reason why we dive into some of this term and language, the whole idea is to give us some. I mean, you can't live in a conflicted situation like in your life or very stressful. I mean, it reduces productivity. And so the question is, the best alternative is to figure out a way to work with like that, can actually have some middle ground where everybody can live and have some decent sense of, you know, what it achieves. It's difficult. There are no simple answers. And that's why I said, you know, the change that occurs in a conflict situation really occurs with you. You decide change the dynamic. You make that, because it's kind of like a game. You know, it always reminds me of, you know, Bynes' work related to, you know, games, right? So we have games that we play, and everybody has the role that they play in that game. Okay, the question is, how do you? Well, if it's not working, you might as well go for a better one that will get you the. So the question here is, what results do you want? You can have terms, you can have tactics, you can have strategy, but the point here is, what do you want? And then, who are you going to be, or what do you have to do to get you to the outcome? Sometimes all it takes to say, you know, I'm sorry, I've been really hard on you all this year. I think that is really not helping you to get you to understand what I mean is. Is it possible for you to want to? That will ring a different ring in the place of your conflict. And that might probably be all you need to actually switch. We've been doing this all the time, it's not working. Why don't we? So you should start trying it, because the one that you've been doing really is not working. So you've got to find a way to create an alternative way of engaging conversation. Because the bottom line is, you want to know your relationship. Can you imagine how much relationships would be if you're actually able to resolve some of these little disagreements and discord happening? Everybody would be so happy. I mean, even the politics of this country will not matter anymore, because we'll be so excited about it for each other, right? And so, you know, focusing on ourselves, doing those, very helpful. You see, conflict itself is always, the reason we have conflict is that we believe that we are being deprived of something that we want or need. Think about it. We feel like we are being deprived of something that we want or need. And then the second thing that creates conflict for us and the other person is that we also believe that by that happening, they are depriving us, there's some sort of, they're depriving you of something that you want, something that you like, something that you love. There's some, you know, depriving you, forgetting. And then they believe that it also violates some norm or rule. So how do you communicate all this? The way you do is that you have to start, you have to have heart, right? And begin to master storytelling and begin to shift and have new ways of engaging your brain to ask questions instead of going to conclude. It is our conclusions that are creating the problem. See, we make conclusions instead of asking questions to help the other. Say, oh, well, now that we can do this. Okay, I don't have my screen here, but I'm going to show you, you can hear the sound. This is a conflict situation between two co-workers. You know, they are both super. So you have Melanie, who is the lady, and then you have Ray. They are trying to do good management practice within, so, you know, who they hire, who they keep on their job, and the sort of requirements that they need. And I just want to hear from you if the way they're approaching this conversation is going to get them to a place.
So I understand you think our project is at risk because we're short on head. Here's my problem with it. We're not in a situation to add to a staff. What I need from you are options, not just a request for more people.
Well, I'm sorry, that's what we need, more people. As simple as that.
No, it's not as simple as that. That's my point. There are other options. You don't always have to deliver every feature your team dreams of. It's not like we're running a hobby shop here where you get to constantly try out your latest invention.
I see where this is going. You don't want to go to the launch committee and fight what we actually need, more people. I should have known you wouldn't support me in this.
And you're using this project as an excuse to increase your staff.
Wow. This is what I get for coming in here and being honest. I guess it'd be easier if I just didn't care about quality.
So what did you hear? What did you observe? What's going on?
There were some assumptions.
A lot of assumptions, okay.
Yes. willing to come.
No, no compromise.
And it just escalated from there.
Okay, yeah. Great. Okay, what else? What do you see? What do you observe?
Even think what
okay,
the staff that they have now to meet.
Okay, great.
Yeah, and I think when you want attention to escalate more quickly, and that seems like she had her mindset that sounds going to be dead to anybody else.
Discouraging
growth that what you're saying, she just didn't
want to
hear it. She was stuck in. So I understand
you think of project.
And it was all there is to it. She did not want to
hear it. Okay, so that kind of thing, so that kind of captures a lot of the things that we, at least, so you can see how, you know, well intentioned. I mean, these are very well intentioned, but who will do the best? But you see how they kind of making life different for each other. Now, what is the cost to organizing all these kind of ways?
You know, probably exists in like a lab. Tension because the black lady correct treat fairly because the man, the white man, because he was a white man, he was able to say the way it is. Thing, well, I mean, to me, and I'm a black, but it's the under tender that you just need.
The emotion, but it could just be any woman. I mean, it couldn't even be black or white, it could be any woman. This lady over here is a white lady. So it could be anybody, any right. woman, right?
Yeah.
Right, but you can see all those things at play, mm-hmm. right? I did not tell you all those things, but all those things are at play in this conversation. That is exactly what happens to all. And that is why when I say, you know, you have to learn to be conflict and begin to know the levels of the intention, whether it is disagreement or whether it is discord. Some people will say you feel like you're being manipulated. Some people say you feel like you're being introspective. You know, all those things play into all levels that create the intention, right? Okay, so let's see how they do the work.
So I'm...
Let's see how they do.
Wow, this is what I get for coming in here and being honest. I guess it'd be easier if I just didn't care about quality.
You know, this isn't working. We're both digging in and defending our views. What's worse, we've gone from problem solving to attack.
I suppose so.
Let's see if we can come up with a solution that satisfies both of us. Otherwise, we're going to keep arguing and nobody will.
How are we supposed to do that?
Well, let's see if we can come up with common objectives.
I'm not sure that we have any common objectives.
Well, we can start by separating the strategy from the purpose. So rather than talking about headcount, let's talk about objective. What is it that you're really trying to achieve?
Well, that's it. I want to make sure that the project is completed without burning out my staff.
Mm-hmm. Anything else?
Well, yeah. I want to ensure that we're able to finish on time and on spec. Right now, we either burn out our staff or disappoint our client.
And I want to make sure that we don't hire new people. And then when the project's over, lay them off. That creates a terrible situation for the new staff. Plus, our existing people begin worrying about their job. And for no reason.
Well, maybe there's a way we can add resources without making permanent commitments.
Okay, how about this one? What did you see? What did you observe? You know, what came?
Okay. She started coming around. She didn't want to.
Okay.
Yes.
Both of them kind of slowed down a little so quick to come up.
I expect for like person. Well, I think we have is like I hear that I think a lot of kids don't listen to me when you hear something. Hey, like
that's true. Even when you're resolving the conflict, somebody's going to throw a wrench.
Yeah.
Right. And yeah. So you if when I say slow down, the best way to engage conflict is to make sure that you slow down, you focus, resolve.
Well, he finally realized he was listening.
That's right. So we are getting more information as to why she's holding because work late. And then the manager is thinking, well, we've done it. We hire people, we do a project, and when we finish, fire. And that's good. So now you're beginning to have some appreciation. Right. You begin to have some appreciation for why people hold you. Mm-hmm. And that is why engaging your brain and asking questions really is the best way in which you can solve. Right. We don't have a lot of time, so I'm going to kind of quickly run through. So I don't have 3 minutes. Okay, so let me show you how the barriers to come. So one of the barriers is ignoring conflict and hoping that it will go away. You know, sometimes it's our culture, our values. You know, we have hidden agendas that prevents us from engaging. And sometimes, you know, we have intimidation or kind of like inappropriate use of power. So those are some barriers to engaging conflict. So be very conscious of that. So if you want to get a good outcome, try not to use some of the, you know, power plays. So how do you develop conflict? So we don't have time to do this, but I want you to think about what behaviors do you see in others that pushes your boundaries? So what are some of the things that people do that kind of pushes your back? You know, you can mention them outright. What are things that people do that?
Well, for me, one of the things, assuming black people can't do it.
Right. Assuming, right? Okay. What else? one of the things that people do that pushes your back. I mean, you know, for some people, if you have a meeting and you come late, you know, late comment, you know, might probably just, you know, push and trigger you. You know, some people don't show up. So those things triggers. So what are the things that people do that kind of get you off? That's a form of disrespect, right? So right there, you get triggered, right? So I'm not going to go too deep into this one because we don't have... But I want you to pay attention to things. At least try and list 10 or 15 things that people do that really trigger. So that's...
Make promises
they don't keep, you know.
Yeah, make it
right. People, you know, people who make promises that they don't keep, you know, they tell you this and they don't do this. All those things kind of trigger you. So the question you have to ask yourself if you have 10 is that, okay, these are my triggers. What should I do or how is going to be my response to this trigger? Right. And so if somebody is late and never showed up, there might be a reason why they are showing up after or did not show up. So maybe you might want to find out why they show up late or they don't show up. And maybe by understanding what the case is, you could actually devise a strategy for why. Instead of running to that conclusion, through getting yourself all triggered, put some emotions about, and that shows your behavior. Okay. So the same thing can be turned around where you can tell a better story about what is happening, put some positive emotions around it, and actually come up with a behavior that improves and increases. Okay, so it looks like I'm told my time's up.
I would prefer to protect it or well, let all of myself.
Yeah, okay, so it looks like my time is up now. So I'm kind of going to open this up for conversations, question anything that you want. Because I usually do this. This is an all-day thing where I move from one spot, and by the time you finish, you are kind of swamped. It will happen in 1 hour. But at least, I hope that I've disturbed you just a little bit for you to begin to pay attention. Because if anything is going to change out there, you are going to. And the way you change is not get people to get the payoffs that they are getting from how they are abusing you or taking. You're going to take them from all the payoffs that they are getting from how they're making your life better. And now what you're going to do, turn this whole thing new to where you're asking questions, finding out more about why you're doing, really focus on getting a positive outcome and build stronger relationships. Because, you know, everybody wants to be good. Everybody wants to be good. Everybody wants to be good. But then why do you get it? Because conflict in and of itself, you want something, you're not getting it. So it's not my fault. We put all our emotions. Well, there are questions though. To help us humanize the person as a rational human. So when somebody does something that you don't like, you go to, why would a rational human being do what this person doing? And then that kind of gets, you know, you become very curious. So you have to be assigned curious about the people who are giving you up, and then try and, you know, help them and help their own humanity and make the world.
And I think when we think about emotions, our side, we're very emotional. How you feel about everything you feel about. And I think it's very important to understand the person, other side of the world, they have one too.
That's right.
And that we need to validate those emotions when they agree. And I think being able to understand the emotional.
It's not easy, but you're hitting the thing wrong. You know, in real time, you know, stuff happens. Sometimes you win, sometimes you don't win. I mean, even I, you know, I do, you know, sometimes I get tripped right here and there. But one of the things I've used to really prove and work on myself, all the things that I do, is that I don't make the same mistake too often. I screw up, to be honest. But then when I screw up, I can guarantee you the next time I'm going to get, because I'm not going to give you this for my screw up. I'm going to figure it out. I'm going to work it. Right? So the next time I come to you, I say, well, I'm sorry that this happened. Can we do this? So you don't spend too much time, you know, celebrating over, you know, screwing me up. I'm going to get you too. But I'm going to get you in the right direction. You know, I'm sorry I did this wrong. I should have done it this way. And, you know, I've thought about it, and I don't think it's the right. Can we focus on this one and do it this way? So I don't give you enough time to kind of, you know, have so much joy at my, you know. So yes, everybody makes mistakes, but don't let the other person, you know, derive so much, you know, enjoyment from something that you did wrong. So, and the reason you do that is that you go right back and correct it to it, and then you move on. Why? Because your focus is about the relation, building the relation, and it's going to be an ongoing. I mean, you don't go to a conflict and suddenly conflict and everything's. Once you go to a conflict class, all the conflict begins to come shooting at you. It's like, oh my God, you know, this guy was talking, but now it's like, since I went to that class, everything around me is like conflicted, right? That's how it's going. And so, right, and say, oh, suddenly it's like, it's all over the place. Well, what you do is to take a deep breath and begin to invest in learning about the skills like that to give yourself up. I think my time is way over. Yes, sir.
Can I ask, we want to explore and you recommend we refer a particular course?
Yes, yes. Okay, so there are a couple of, in your handout at the back, I didn't go through it word for word, but in the back, I have some resources. So I have a resource page here. And one of the books that I use for most of my work, Crucial Conversation, Tools for Talking When You're Stuck. So the Crucial Conversations book has been very, very helpful. The other one that I have is Leadership and Self-Deception, Getting Out of Box. So that's coming from the Abinger. So although we are leaders, we are very self-deceived. And people see it. We don't see it. But you know, everybody sees it. We don't see it. We are leading people, but we are so self-seeing that we don't even know it. So self-deception is everybody knows it, but you don't know. So the question is, how do you get yourself out of that box? So that becomes a developmental process. And then the other one is developing your conflict confidence. That's a resource. So yeah, I have those in the backhand that you can use those ones to continue. Because, you know, it takes a lot of time, but once you get to a point where you don't get scared of conflict because you know it's natural human. When it,
yeah. Anything but B-R-E-N-E.
Yeah, yeah.
I just, well, earlier this
something
year,
to leave.
Braver.
Yeah, Benet, she talks more about vulnerability and how you can use your vulnerability to actually, you know, bring about your people. So, you know, if you want to be a leader, you have to be able to be vulnerable. One of the reasons we get into conflict situations is that we want to be vulnerable. So it's out of vulnerability and openness, and clearness, it's when the other people can see you, they see you. So you see me, I see you, you realize that we are all the same. And that makes sense. Thanks. Okay, if you want to stay here with me and ask me more questions, I'll be happy. You know. Any more questions? All right, well,
thank you.